That's scary, yeah. Oh. Well, it's just been such a joy to be here and just to spend time with everybody here and just to see guys that are really seeking the Lord. And I just, well, where did Harold go? Oh, he's right there. Okay. Okay, I thought, well, where could Harold have gone in that short of time? Well, what you said, Harold, there too about, I remember just a little while ago, I was reading that passage that when the Lord sought for a man to stand in the gap and make up the hedge for all of Israel, and he couldn't even find one, and then destroyed Israel. And I don't even want to try to explain what that was all about. But it's true, and it's just, that's what it says. And I've heard different people say, why couldn't I be that person? You know, that was one of the saddest places in the Bible, I think. They just was looking for a person just to pray through for an area like that. And I just thought, you know, I remember reading about Dwight L. Moody. He was listening to Spurgeon preach. And Spurgeon said something about that the world has yet to see what God can do through a man that's completely consecrated to himself. And Moody just said there, just a grade 8 education and a shoe salesman, why couldn't I be that man? Why couldn't I just consecrate myself totally to God and let him use me just like a clean vessel for him to use? And of course, we know God did use him greatly. And two different men who God greatly used, one brilliant, one just regular Joe. He always said about himself, he murdered the Queen's English. But God just used him. God used him to, because he was available and he gave himself completely to God. And I just, I know I went quite long the last time. And I just want to share a couple things first and then just share a bit of how God has been leading us in Red Deer. But a couple things that have really touched me is there's certain passages you get from God and you can't get out of them. And you probably know some of the ones for me, but one lately has been just the first three petitions of the Lord. Like when God says, that's how you're supposed to pray, something is very important in there. And I have just been loving that passage lately. And I think sometimes too, sometimes things that, you know, like our wives, they're so precious to us, but they're right in front of us all the time. And sometimes you can take them for granted. And I think something that's so beautiful, like the Lord's Prayer, we can sometimes, Satan would love it to just become so, just quick and easy just to say it. It doesn't really mean anything. We can all whip that prayer off just like nothing. But it's a beautiful prayer. And I've been, the first three petitions, I've been thinking so much about them lately. And I think if you could honestly say that, like, I don't know how much more hallowed God could be. Like he's beyond above everything there ever was or is or anything. And nobody can even, like, he's everything. And so for me to pray, hallowed be thy name, I've been more thinking about it. Lord, could you help me to say that with all my heart? That God would be everything. That he would be above everything in my life and anything that gets close to it, that he just helped me to get it back down where it should go. To me, my family is it's such a gift for me, but I don't want that, anything. So I've just been praying, Lord, change my life so that I can truly and honestly say, hallowed be thy name. I think if the church could truly, we say it together all that, like it's such over and over we say it, but if the church could honestly say that together, we would be in the place of major revival. I think if there's anything that's worshiping God, it's those three. Hallowed be thy name. Like the God's name, as I've been praying, I've just been saying, Lord, please, could you help me to say that? That I could truly worship you and say, hallowed be thy name. It's usually hallowed be my name. I remember I was teaching my daughter I think I shared this with a few of you before, but I was teaching my daughter to say the Lord's Prayer, and this is my oldest one, and she was back when she was about three or two. And I was telling her, Anna, this is how you say the Lord's Prayer. You say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And she says, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be my name. And I said, oh, no, that's not going to work. That's the worst word to get wrong there, Anna. And I'd say, can't you say, hallowed be thy name? Hallowed be my name. And I know this is not going to work. But right at that moment, the Lord spoke to me and said, she's saying it innocently, but you should say that. That's the way you should say it. If you were to be totally honest. And he just broke me right there. And so I was trying to teach Anna how to say it. And I finally thought, well, that isn't definitely not going to work with the my. And she couldn't say the TH. So I said, well, how about you say it like this? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And so she started saying it like that. And again, the Lord just touched me. That's what I have to do. I have to die to my reputation, to my glory, so that I just say, can say truly and honestly that my heartbeat is hallowed be thy name. And I think it would be a great thing for you just to pray at home. Lord, let me just live for your glory. And that I could truly say hallowed be thy name with all my heart, and that my brothers around me would be able to say it too. Because I thought this has got to be an important prayer, but it's just gotten way too. And so I've just been letting the Lord speak to me, and I want to worship him every morning with hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Again, we could say my kingdom. That's what we often, most of our prayers about our little kingdoms, if you really think about it. Help me to do this better so I can make more money, and you know, whatever. Or even as a pastor, Lord, we want the church to grow because it's my church, or whatever. But just pray that, I think if we were to really say, God, would you change my heart so powerfully that this would be my prayers, that my kingdom would just be melted into yours. I wouldn't even have any kind of kingdom, but everything I have and am would be yours. I think that's worship. Hallowed be thy name, not mine. Thy kingdom come, not my kingdom. And thy will be done. I mean, there's Jesus. Like, that's worship. It's even Jesus himself. If there's any other way, he knew what, I don't know. I don't know. But he said it. If there's any other way that we could redeem this world, but nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And I think you're in a place of absolute revival and worship if we can say those. So I don't know if that's meant to change God. I don't think it is. I think it's meant for us to be able to pray it with all our hearts. And we're in a place of worship. That's just been a thought that's been going through my, and every morning I'm asking God, please help me to be able to say that with all my heart. Then I know my motives are right. Because boy, can you get wrong motives quick. And nobody else knows. You can do everything exactly the same way you always did it. But God knows. And you're not worshiping him in spirit and in truth. You know, the true circumcision, worship God in the spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. But you can so quickly move to the other way. And so, those three things, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, and thy will be done. That would be really true in our hearts. And that we would truly worship God in spirit and in truth. And another area that's been just so heavily in my personal prayer life is I was preaching, as you can probably tell, I'm not used to this kind of like, I like to take a passage and you're just right there and you just go through it, keep going through it all the way through. But there's times when you have to do it like this. But I love preaching right through the Bible. It is so wonderful. I miss that. That's the biggest thing I miss of being a pastor, I think. But I get to do it in Bible studies still. But I was doing a Bible study recently, and I just started with, you know, the word is so powerful. But I just hit with Paul there. Paul, a bond slave of Jesus Christ. And that overwhelmed me. Is that every day, I've just been asking God every day, every morning, that he just punch an awl through my ear and that I be his bond slave today. I do it lovingly, that I could be free, but I don't want to be free. I'd rather be his slave than be free and be in bondage to my own sin. But I that's been another thing that's really encouraged me in my quiet time, is that every morning when you wake up, you just worship him and ask him to punch the awl through. And then when you get in the day and there's something maybe you don't like, no, I'm a bond slave of Jesus. There was Paul, so excited in a prison. Everybody's talking, it was Philippians we're going through. And here everybody's making, like they're preaching the gospel, but they're slamming Paul. And he's so excited because Jesus is preaching. I thought, he didn't think lowly of himself. Paul just didn't even think of himself. And he was so full of the joy of God as a bond slave of Jesus. It was just a new place to share the gospel for him. And I want to be like that. I thought of Great Heart in Pilgrim's Progress, you know. Had a chance. Do you want to come into the celestial city? No thanks. His armor's all beaten and bashed, and he's going, there's probably more that I can go back and help back to the celestial city. And I just think that you know, that what a privilege you have to wake up every morning and be a bond slave of Jesus Christ. It's a great way to worship him when you get up. So it's just, we've been talking about corporate prayer, but this is just something I've been learning in my private prayer. And, you know, there's times when you ask him to punch the awl through your ear and you just have to lie on the floor because his presence is so real. And you're just so blessed. And to be completely honest, then sometimes you leave that place and you have a bad attitude within like hours. But you know, I just want to stay there in that place. And so it's just something that has really been encouraging me lately, just to share with you. Now I'm just going to share a little bit about Red Deer. That was where I was born again. And so I know God called us there from Melford. It was very hard. There was some wonderful, wonderful people in Melford. It was a tough place to leave where you'd seen the work of God and people being born again and things like that. But the mission and us felt that way, and so we knew God had called us to Red Deer. And I remember going to witness. I was thinking, I'm going to be in a bigger city. This is going to be so great. Because in Melfort, sometimes, you know, you got the same people you're witnessing to, and they're, oh, no, not you again. You know, kind of thing, and you grew up with a lot of them, so I'm thinking, this is going to be awesome. I can go, and I can just, there'll be people everywhere. And so you go into Tim Hortons, and that was when I think Red Deer was probably the richest it's ever, like, there was money everywhere, just everywhere. And you'd go in and I'd talk to white guys my age. And it was like, what in the world are you doing? Like, why are you talking to me? Kind of thing. I remember thinking, wow, this is, you know, and kind of thinking, boy, you could tell that everybody loved money. There was a lot of people that just loved money. Even sometimes in the church, it was sort of like, oh, man. And you knew right away that, you know, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. I knew this. You knew the stronghold for sure in that area was that money. And everybody was making it hand over fist. But it, spiritually, I think that's never really a great thing, I don't think. And I remember thinking, oh man, we just left. I know God called us here. And I remember driving down the road and just having a battle in my heart. Thinking, why is there's just people aren't, I thought God had called us here to, you know, there's going to be wide open doors and everything. And this may sound weird, I'm sure it will actually. I told my wife, and I'm sure she was looking at me kind of funny, so I'm not even sure I should, but I'm going to tell you anyways. I'm driving down the road and just thinking, wow, Lord, everybody seems here to be hard. A lot of people are really hard. So, I mean, obviously lots of people weren't too, but the people I was trying to witness to were. And I'm driving down the road, and they have this Christian radio station. I just love, my boy and I, we love to listen to it. And this guy was singing a song, Greater Things Are Still To Be Done, or Yet To Be Done, or something like along those lines. Greater Things Are Still To Be Done In This City. And I was just wondering, like having some thoughts in my head. And all of a sudden, he starts singing this. I turned it up, the tears are just coming down my eyes, and I'm just going, thank you, Lord. He just spoke to my heart. And I stopped at the stoplight. And this is the weird part that my wife wondered if I should ever tell anybody this. But I'm sitting at the stoplight and this song is going and I've got it turned up. And this seagull is flying right in front of my window. Like, I mean right in front of my window. And he's just flapping like this looking at me. And I look over, and the guy in the car beside me is looking over going, what in the... Like, he was wondering, what is that bird doing? And I'm wondering, what's the bird doing? And already there's tears coming down my face. That's just an aside, but I'll tell you, did that ever encourage me that day? The bird was looking right at me, right in the window like this, and I just thought, that was what I needed. I was needed a little encouragement, and so that was encouraging. But I don't even know why I went there, but it happened right in front, and the guy beside me saw it too. But it was so encouraging to, like, when it was kind of cold right then to share the gospel. But then we started getting groups together, and now there's many groups, and a lot of them are pastors, which is in the city of Sylvan Lake. I tell you, I do not want to miss that prayer meeting. Those guys, almost all the pastors that are in that town, the evangelical pastors, they meet together. And man, do those guys love each other. And they're seeing, you sense the presence of God in that prayer meeting. It is a really, like, they're meeting with God and God is touching them and they're filled with the Spirit of God. And each one of them is finding that their churches are growing quite a bit. But I'll tell you in a moment what's happening in the churches in a moment. But then there's Lacombe. And I just, if you could pray for these places, because what we're praying is that God would do something in these communities that would make, cause others to want to pray. That's sort of the heartbeat, is that God would do something in those communities, that men would know that thou whose name alone is Jehovah art the Most High over all the earth. And there's two prayer meetings in Red Deer of pastors that meet together, and those are really great prayer meetings too. And then there's several other, there's a lot of groups where you go and you know God is working in the hearts of those guys. And what the pastors are seeing, I know it's happening, is the churches are growing. Our pastor, Pastor Dan, I absolutely love that man. He is such a humble man. He's a church pastor of the biggest church in the whole area by far. And his humility and just the work of God, he shared at one of the prayer meetings, I know he won't mind me sharing this, that he just shared with all these young pastors. He said, you know, sometimes in my life, I wanted to be relevant, or I wanted to be, funny, or, you know, all those different things that pastors, you know, you want to be liked, he said, I wanted to be liked. But lately, he said, all I want is to preach the word of God by the power of his Holy Spirit. Man, when he said that, you can tell. Every Sunday I go to church, I just have tears coming down my eyes. At some point in the service, the Holy Spirit breaks me. And he's just such a humble man, and that church is growing. I mean growing. And it's wonderful to see, and people are being born again. And a lot of these pastors, some of them even saying, I don't even want to talk about it, because I don't want to wreck what God's doing. But it's really, really wonderful. There's one pastor that joins with the Sylvan Lake pastors. All those churches are growing like quite a bit, but he's an Anglican pastor, and his church has gotten smaller since he's really faithful guy. But to see his heart and the beauty of that young man, and just that he's still persevering even though he's battling quite heavily. But to see the other pastors, the Alliance pastor and the Pentecostal pastor, they got mad at each other because he said, if his church folds, we're taking them. And the other, no, you're not. We're taking them. And so it's just great to see. And they so encourage him. He comes broken sometimes. But to see these pastors coming together and to see the power of God working in their congregations and moving, it's beautiful. Same as in Lacombe. There's guys there and their churches are... But what we're seeing right now is not a whole lot of people saved. Again, I've noticed very much that God is working in our community by the coffee shops, because that's where I do a lot of my evangelism. People are way more open. I'm finding... But I'm still sowing a lot of seeds. There's not really, but you can tell there's a lot more openness to the gospel. And what we're finding is it's foreign people. If I walk into a Tim Hortons, I'll tell you for sure. I pray that if there's somebody that God would put them on my heart, and I would know for sure if there was a white guy in there, I would definitely, if God put them on my heart. But so often when you walk in, if I see a Muslim fellow, that's who I want to talk to. They're so wide open. Or a foreign person. It's just the Lord is really opening doors there. And I've had many, many great opportunities. But this is what, as we are praying for God to just open doors for us, in our prayer times, I got a phone call from a lady, and she knew I was out evangelizing. And she said, there's a whole bunch of Syrians coming to Red Deer, Syrian families, and I've been asked to greet them. But I'd like you to greet them and share the gospel with them. And I said, oh, man, I'd like that too. And so I got an opportunity. I know most of the Syrian families quite well, and I've shared the gospel with most every one of them. Some of them, we gave them out this book. It's called All That the Prophets Have Spoken. It's the creation to Christ, like New Tribes Mission had that. It's a really good book. Many of them have read them. And some of them have read through the New Testament in Arabic. And probably three of them, I think they would maybe call me one of their best friends, and another East Indian. It was so funny because I was witnessing to this one East Indian who's a Muslim, and we'd talk, and his wife phoned from India one day and said, our daughter phoned me and said, he said, there's this minister trying to convert you. Is that true? And he said, yes, definitely that's true. He is trying to convert me for sure. And she said, well, you should stop spending time with him. And he said, oh, I'll never stop spending time with him. He's one of my best friends. And he said, he is definitely trying to convert me. And he said, and if he does convince me, I will convert. But I haven't convinced him, but I'm hoping the Holy Spirit's going to convince him. But he will just sit and listen. And so when all these Syrians came, he was my interpreter. So I got to share the gospel to Mirza Just yesterday, or just the day, yeah, that was yesterday. I just came here yesterday. Wow. A friend of mine from the prayer groups was taking him out for coffee, one of the pastors. And this guy, I love him. I love him so much. And he's so earnest and sincere, but he hasn't received Christ yet. And there's several Syrian families. They're not going to the mosque much. The Syrian families are not going to the mosque hardly at all, because a few of them have told me personally, you know, in all this trouble, no Muslim helped us. He said, it's always been Christians. And I've invited some of them to church, and one, my best friend out of all the Syrians, he came to church with me, and Pastor Dan has gone to visit him, and oh, I just love this guy. But he came to church, and he said, I love the part when the Christian imam, he calls him, when he started telling me that Jesus, the God who is God, sacrificed himself for me. He said, there was something inside of me that just, but when they sang the Jesus songs, that's when he was just tears just coming down his face there at the church. And it was really neat to see. But he still hasn't come to know the Lord, but he's very open, and he's read through the New Testament. But if you can remember some of the, I won't give their names just because I probably shouldn't, but just know there's quite a few of these guys that I know are hungry. And I just heard from one of the pastors in Lacombe that two of the Syrians have come to know Christ in our area. I don't know which ones they are, actually, but he was telling me that, and they have to keep it a little bit careful. But if you could pray, because I think once a few start coming, I think we'll see a real. And I think in every community where these guys are coming in, if the church will just outreach them. Because the one guy said, you know, he's trying to buy cars and to fix them up because nobody will give him work. And he said, I've asked them right away when I talked to him on the phone, are you a Christian? Because he said, Christians are so honest and so good. And so I said, don't quite do that. I wouldn't do that, because that's not going to always happen. But I'm glad to hear that Christians, he always said, Christians have treated me so good. And so it's really neat to see. So if you could pray for these guys. But I remember when they first were coming, and Mirza was there with me, and we were sharing the gospel with them. And I asked them if we could pray together. And all these Muslims were in the, and now they ask me often, can you pray in Jesus' name for this? Or can you pray in Jesus' name? The one guy, the doctors had told him his wife would never have a baby. And so he asked us to pray in Jesus' name, or was never going to have another baby. They'd lost a few children in the camps in Syria. And he asked us to pray in Jesus' name, and now his wife is pregnant, and I'm praying, oh God, keep that baby going. You know, so just, they really have this thing about, they want you, that's a big thing for them, for you to pray in Jesus' name to them. And so they're really open, and I love them. I love them very much. And, but there is a wide open door. I say we should be reaching those dear people, like, they're not all, there are some. I think I met one. I started witnessing to him, and he was a very, very militant fellow, angry, really angry at me. And we were just sitting talking, and I was telling him, and I think he was coming under conviction. I was just sharing some prophecies from the Old Testament to the New, and I said, how could that possibly be? And he got angrier and angrier, and he said, the Holy Quran says, and he would just be banging the table like this. And finally, I know the Lord gave me what to say, and I said, you know, I do not want to argue with you. I said, we could sit and argue, but one of us is definitely wrong. I said, there are people in this city that would be lawyers that could argue against me in a court of law that the sky is pink and win. I said, they're just so good of arguers. And I said, we could argue till the cows come home, but I said, one of us is wrong. And I said, one of us when we die is going to go straight to hell for sure. And he just sobered right up. And so I said, the only reason I'm telling you this is because I care. And I believe as much as you're sitting in front of me that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and he died for my sins. So I said, would you let me pray for you that if you're wrong, that God would show you that you're wrong. And if I'm wrong, that God would show me that I'm wrong. And he teared up. He went from really mad to just, he teared up and he said, yes, you can pray that. I'd like you to pray that. And we ended up having a good time. But you get opportunities like this, that God's opening doors. But what we're seeing outside of even the Syrian and all this is that there's, I think Pastor McLeod always told us, just keep sowing seeds and keep sowing seeds and keep sowing seeds. And in the Saskatoon revival, when the Spirit of God moved, it was often the people that had been sown seeds that came to Christ when the Spirit of God moved so powerfully. And so what pastors are saying is they're seeing a real work of God in their people Well, in their own lives. I mean, that's great. I think that the pastors are so key to everything. And they're seeing God working in their own lives and the power in their preaching and different things like that. But they're seeing people in their church changed. And so that's been a great thing. But one other thing they're seeing is prodigals coming home. That right now, we're really feeling there's a lot of prodigals coming home. And so that's, I think the churches are growing because of prodigals, lots of them. There's some people being saved. Just this last week at the Sylvan Lake prayer meeting, the pastors there were sharing about people just truly born again, like really powerful conversions, three different ones in one week. And they were really excited about that. But what they feel God is really working in their own hearts, in the churches, and then as he prepares the church to bring in the harvest. And there's a real anticipation. A lot of people really believe that he's going to do something. But what I find a lot of us are saying is we just don't want to be the person that would grieve the Spirit of God. That's a wonderful thing to see when people are afraid to grieve the Spirit. You know, and I think that's really great. But we pray for you out here. We'd so appreciate if you keep praying that God would just keep, and we would not touch the glory of God. I've seen that where I've been one of the ones to do it or someone else has done it. And there's a real fear of that, you know. So if you could pray for the guys there, that would be something. But I just, one last thing is just, I want to say the importance of our pastors. And sometimes we can be people that would, like I've been a pastor and I feared, because I'd be in a church and you'd have somebody that you thought would be the greatest person to have in your church, the most godly person. And then you found out that they were always saying bad things about you behind your back or doing other stuff where they'd almost tear down everything you did all the time and you're just trying your best and you weren't trying to cause trouble. You were just trying to do your best and you had somebody who you really felt was going to be such a blessing to you. And I was afraid of myself. You know, now that I wasn't a pastor with the Faith Mission, I thought, oh man, I hope I don't. So I was in Melfort, my brother was my pastor, so I like tearing him down in front of his face, but we love each other a lot, so I didn't have trouble there. But when I came to Red Deer, I was just worried about myself. Like, I hope I don't do that. You know, would be a negative person to the pastor. And I tell you, I absolutely adore my pastor. He is a wonderful man. I pray with him every week. He is so humble. He's easy to love. But I know you can. You can tear them down. It's easy to do it. And it's better not to. Like, if for your own good and for your own family's good, I wouldn't tear them down. God just, I don't think God likes that. And you can really hurt the work of God by ripping your pastor to shreds. And I would really encourage you to love them. The local church is the place that God chose. That's his place. That's the only option we have. He works through his local church. And that's why the Faith Mission is 100% behind. We just want to encourage, we're here to encourage in these areas of prayer, revival, and evangelism, the local church. But I just think it's if you're doing that, I remember I told one guy, I said, you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't say that about your pastor. And he was a really good friend of mine. And he got mad at me at first, but later he came and he thanked me for that. Another guy, when I was pastoring in Lost River area, this wonderful friend of mine, he was a big businessman. And he was telling me, we prayed together, and he was telling me, I really praying for a new pastor. And I said, oh, that's not good. You shouldn't do that. And we got praying, and I said, you should pray for your pastor that God will bless him because you got a good pastor. And he felt bad, and you could tell when he prayed different. He prayed for God to touch his pastor, and I'll tell you, he came to the prayer meetings, and God touched that guy. He became one of my very best friends ever. And this guy, he told me later with tears, he said, God gave me a new pastor, all right, and now he's become one of my very best friends, and he was 100% behind him, and because he was behind him, lots of other people got behind him, and you saw that guy. I've heard a few people from that congregation say, I do not know what's happened, but we are just being so blessed, and he got called to a huge church somewhere else. But I think it's hard when you're sort of being torn to shreds. It's hard to grow. So I just think we're going to grieve the Spirit if we do that. So I just really encourage you to bless your pray for him. All the time, bless them, and because the church is the powerful organism that God wants to use, and the pastor is the leader. We've been saying that too. Is that, you know, we have a mayor that's a Christian in Red Deer, but I don't think she's nearly as important as our pastors, because that's the That's where the real power is in the church. And if the pastors are really walking with God and being blessed by God, we'll be blessed too. So that I just felt like I should. John kind of did that a little bit before. I thought that was so funny that you were saying that, John. It's been something on my heart. And I can even say it because I'm not a pastor now. But it is a very important office that God has. And just pray for them. And if you are a pastor, I would find other pastors to pray with too. And or, you know, the church prayer meeting, don't miss that. That's very important too. So I know the last part was quite a few little things, but I thought maybe I could share that might really help you. So, John, do you?